Welcome to Manager Tools. Today's cast, educate your directs on performance reviews early. Part one. Questions this cast answers are, can I teach my team about performance reviews in advance? Should I go over performance reviews with new directs? And how can I brief my new directs on how they'll be evaluated? If you'd like answers to these questions and more, keep listening. Manager Tools is excited to bring to you our Virtual Effective Manager and Virtual Effective Hiring Manager training in other languages to your organization. We've partnered with experts who provide on-the-spot interpretation services in your preferred language, whatever language that is. And while there's a small upcost for the service, it's well worth it to ensure everyone learns the valuable guidance required to help them be more effective professionals. Send an email today to maggie@manager-tools.com to learn more about how we can come to you virtually to deliver training in your language of choice. All right. So, Kate, performance reviews.
So fraught with stress.
I think for most people, given it's the end of January-ish here in 2024, most people have completed the performance review process for the year. However, we're not really talking about the performance review process so much as the stuff that you need to do in advance of the performance review process. And one of those things is bringing folks up to speed on that process.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of people might have been hiring. You might have a lot of new directs right now. So if you're listening as it's happening, this might be a good time for you to start with this guidance, even though it sounds like we're talking about performance reviews. And a lot of y'all did those at the end of the year. This actually applies to those people who are kind of just starting at your organization. And we want to help them because imagine, right, getting your first performance review, new employee, organization, you're brand new, just gotten there. And you don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
Nobody told you.
That's the thing. I mean, how effective, and that's what we want of our new directs, right? How effective are you possibly going to be throughout the first evaluation process if you've never so much as seen the review form or had this review process, which, let's face it, is completely different in every organization ever? You've never had it explained to you. The answer, obviously, is you're not going to be very good at it. You're not going to be effective at it.
Yeah, I think it's a bit of academic creep on the part of the people who have been in the organization. So the people who have gone through this process multiple times, they're not worried.
No.
It's transparent to them. They know what's going to happen. They've seen the form. And that's not the case with the new people. But because you've been there a while, you maybe don't think about it. Oh, well, this person's never seen it. And I think if you've seen enough performance reviews, you know that the core pieces of them are so common and almost universal, right? I mean, the basics of it, the tenets of it are pretty simple. And so you probably think to yourself, oh, well, if you even think about it at all, they don't need to learn about this. And honestly, most people probably aren't thinking about it at all. They need to educate their directs about performance reviews. And it's a really simple solution.
Yes, exactly.
It's a thing you can add to your Delta file going forward about what you would like to change and what you'd like to do differently. Don't do this to your new directs. Instead, brief your new directs on your firm's evaluation process, the form and its vagaries.
Yeah, exactly.
Intricacies. And
yeah. Well, I mean, there's always those things in everyone's performance review that's like, well, we don't really say this, but if you get less than like a 5 out of 5 on teamwork, it's really bad. And we don't say it, right? It's not part of the process, but it exists. And knowing it helps everyone function within the system.
Yeah, I think this is even more important in matrix organizations.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think it's massively underlooked in matrix organizations. My experience is that people aren't educated in the first place. And it is not until right prior to before the eval that it's suddenly, it's like a, oh my gosh, by the way, the person you've been working with every day is maybe the person who's going to write it, or maybe not the person who's going to write it, and you didn't know that. Your functional manager versus your dotted line manager, all these kinds of things. that is terrifying to a new direct.
They didn't know. Exactly. So the outline for today's cast, we're going to start by talking about brief new employees early about reviews. Then we're going to go into the cynical caveat. Then we'll move into go over the process and finally go over the form, including all of those unofficial rules. So the first bit, brief new employees early about reviews. This is one of those moments. I mean, I want to take the palm of my hand and slap it against my forehead. Don't let your direct go into their first performance review after they've already been performing for a year or somewhere in that time frame, right? Without ever having been given any understanding about the review form and the process that will forever go into their corporate HR performance and personnel file and will affect their compensation the entire time they work for your organization. I mean, 365 days later to let them know about something that's probably the most important part of their existence in your firm forever, it's late. It's far too late. So we'd suggest brief them shortly after they start about the form and the system and how the whole thing works.
Also, in some organizations, performance reviews are pinned at a certain time of year, regardless of when the new hire starts. Mm-hmm. Which means if your new hires are starting, let's say, September, their first performance review is only 3 months of work.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so, okay, how on the earth, the planet, how are they supposed to do well at this process?
Right.
It's baffling. I used to work at an organization where performance reviews were at the end of the year, regardless. Mm-hmm. Didn't matter when you started. You could have been there for 2 weeks. You could have been there for 3 months. You could have been there for a year. And the idea of you've only been here for 3 months, and therefore, frankly, your performance review is not going to be good.
Oh, you're still in your first 3 months. That's for many organizations. You're still well within that window of, okay, well, if this doesn't work out, we can still get rid of you, yo.
Yes. And this was not an organization that had the 90-day trial period, if you will. You know, there was an assumption that you were staying. However, in the first 90 days, you are learning so many things. The idea that a performance review, like, which to your point goes into your permanent file with HR, would be valuable, would have information that was reasonable, that was a credit to you or your performance, given that your performance and tenure are minuscule comparatively. Just another, you know, slap your forehead moment. Mm-hmm. And the time it will take to explain this process is so simple so short. And so it can go into a one-on-one. It can just slip right in there. Although I would suggest the organization where I was previously didn't have that process.
That's so the thing.
Perhaps
lack of communication tends to be replicated throughout the system generally.
Right. So, okay. What we're suggesting is a 15-minute brief. You can add it to your list of first meetings with new direct topics.
We have a series.
Mm-hmm. We've got some guidance on that. You can also make it take over or be the entirety of one of your halves of one of your manager tools one-on-ones.
Yeah.
And if it worries you that you'd be, okay, displacing tactical stuff that you might normally cover, don't forget that you can always do these tactical topic coverage things a couple of hours after your one-on-one or the next day. Mm-hmm. It's much easier for you to get time with your directs than it is for your directs to get time with you.
You know, and I would say, this isn't entirely true, Kate, but the best time ever in your direct's tenure with your firm to steal extra time from them is at the beginning. I mean, Think about it. Once you've been working somewhere for a year, you've got all of these things on this massively growing list, and finding time for this briefing becomes, now it's only 15 minutes, so you're exaggerating, but it becomes something that feels harder. At the beginning, mm-hmm. they literally have nothing better to do than hang out with you. So
yeah,
take advantage of this time and help them understand this new important process while they've got a little bit of bandwidth and they're still coming up to speed and They need this information well in advance.
You and I have touched on this before. It's not a podcast, but we've touched on the idea that there's an assumption when a person first starts that there's a list of things they don't know.
Yeah.
And so there's no negative connotation around teaching them these things.
Yeah. Because we know you don't know.
Just, we know you don't know.
Yeah.
Now, once you've been there 90 days, once you've been there 120 days,
right.
Okay, that assumption starts to fade a bit. Now, as you and I have discussed in the past, that's not really totally fair. There's always things that people don't know. And so assuming, oh, they know everything is detrimental, I think, to their learning. And I think it also is that it's hard for the direct. The direct starts to make an assumption like, oh, I know most of the things. And once you start to make that assumption, it's harder to be open to constructive input and guidance and even feedback when you get to that point. So the idea of, oh, there's a list of stuff this person doesn't know is much more accepted when the person first begins, when a direct first begins. Great time to take advantage of that.
Yeah.
And to your point, again, you need a lot of time with them when they're first starting. Yeah, you do. And you can get it because they have a lot of time.
They have the time.
Yeah, they don't have a list of stuff. They don't know how to make themselves busy when, you know, there's not a big list of stuff on there.
Yes, exactly. It's harder to carve time away later. And folks, teaching new employees about their performance review long before they ever receive a performance review is, as Kate mentioned earlier, a great example of the value of having a Delta file. Now, for those of you that are not familiar with the guidance or the terminology, I suppose, Delta file, we recommend that managers and directs, all people within organizations, keep a list. Now, this list is on paper or on a non-company-owned technology device. And it's a list of all of the things you don't or didn't like being done to you when you were a direct, so that when you become a manager, you don't visit those same ills upon the people who work for you, right? It's that learn those lessons. If you didn't like it, they won't either. So, roughly translated, do unto others if you would not have them do such unto you, which is the contrapositive of the golden rule, because so much of organizational culture is misaligned, malaligned with the actual golden rule, right? We do a lot of things that we would hate being done to us, and we do them without even thinking, wait a minute, how would I feel first? So it's that. We didn't like it done to us. Let's not do it to other people, basically.
Yes.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly.
As that relates to performance reviews, and we'll leave the rest of it for another day.
There's too much for a day.
Does it really even make sense to have one of your new hires at any level not know and fully understand the performance review while they're receiving their first review within the system? Of course not.
Right. What? No.
Yeah, it's inefficient. It's potentially damaging to their career to get caught not knowing how they're going to be evaluated. And so you wouldn't want this visited upon yourself. And for many of us, you're now realizing that's what happened.
Yeah. Yeah. And you're realizing right now, live in front of us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We're so sorry.
Let's not do it to other people.
Yeah, exactly. And there's a different extreme we can take here in this concept. Imagine your managerial experience. If every one of your directs reviewed their previous performance review for just 5 minutes a week and reminded themselves of all of the performance criteria and how they committed to improving this next year. I mean, doesn't that sound like magic? It kind of sounds amazing. As a manager, to think, wow, if they just reviewed it for 5 minutes a week and reminded themselves of all the things that they need to work on this year, talk about people getting focused on performance in the right way, right? This worked last year. This didn't work last year. Let me remind myself so I can change that. So
yeah,
that's just another great reason for people to know that this thing exists and what's really important.
Kind of similar to what we're talking about. I have reminders in my calendar for August and September that are remind your directs to look at their performance review goals for the year. And this way, if they haven't made them yet, there's still time.
Yeah.
And full disclosure, my reminders used to be in September. I've moved them to August because for us, August has traditionally been quite a slow month.
Yep.
Now, that's not as true now, but historically it was. At least, though, a summer month, there's a little more time there. Mm-hmm. And again, this is a learning from the previous place where I found that performance review goals were set in December. Then there was a big 2-week break.
Yeah.
Then we came back in January and it was, oh my gosh, there's all this stuff to get done. And it was always a catch-up problem.
Yeah.
And then everybody got so deeply embedded in the work that we were actually doing that it wasn't until about October or November people started realizing, oh my goodness.
Oh my goodness. I am never going to make reviews, these things.
Yeah. These goals are never going to happen. And frankly, I think the experience you have when you're putting together performance reviews where you remember something that happened in March and you think, oh my gosh, I forgot about that thing. I think that that same type of amnesia is also akin to what happens when you're creating goals for next year, which is you're so excited. It's the end of the year. Your outlook is so rosy. It's like, this could happen.
You're looking down and then, the pipe of some vacation.
Yeah. It's you're like Santa's elf.
You are.
And frankly, Santa's elf doesn't work here.
Right? Now, folks, that's a really great point. To be clear, we do our reviews every year in December. Like, I'm going to say mid-December, whatever date in December is reasonable. Now, for those of you that have a performance review cadence whereby people's reviews are sporadically throughout the year, what that means is we would recommend you have multiple of those reminders 4 to 6 months out from the review to remind folks, hey, look at your goals, make sure you're on track. But it's also no more difficult than that. I know it probably feels a little bit more difficult because you've got all these things that are staggered throughout the year and there's always a performance review, it seems, to complete. But just make yourself reminders in your calendar. If you don't put in a reminder in your calendar, you're not going to do it. And you're just going to have a few more reminders.
Frankly, why wouldn't you put them in once a quarter if your reviews are staggered? And frankly, I would even put them in once a quarter for those of you whose reviews are pinned at the end of the year. Mm-hmm. There's no reason not to ask your directs, hey, have we made any progress on your performance review goals for this year in March? If we're talking about them reviewing them every single week for 5 minutes, once a quarter isn't going to kill anybody.
No, it's absolutely not.
And since I'm the cynical person today, the caveat.
Yes, we do have a cynical caveat.
Yeah.
And
this is not for Santa's elves.
This is not for Santa's elves. Folks, to say it differently, we know what you're thinking. Listen here, Sarah. Come on, Kate. You have no idea how terrible our evaluation system is. Everyone here knows how terrible it is. Everyone here hates how terrible it is. We're not even sure anybody is reading the dumb thing. Why on earth would we tell people about it before they have to be made aware about it?
And we'll not argue with you.
Yeah, we'll not argue with you. It might actually be really terrible, probably.
Yeah. And we don't disagree. I would go so far as to say I've been in that cycle and I'm sorry for it, y'all. It's possibly true. It's even likely that it's awful. Except, okay, the part that nobody looks at it.
Yeah. Someone does.
Yeah.
Direct
for
does.
Sure. And if you want an example, not only them,
yeah.
If you want an example of how far removed HR sometimes is from the other people in the organization, I can promise you this, there's somebody in HR who's looking at it.
Yeah.
It's sitting on somebody's desk over there. All this to say, your cynicism could be well justified.
Mm-hmm.
We support you. And it doesn't change the fact that those very irritations are also the best reason for doing what we're recommending.
Yeah.
We get it. It's terrible. Awful. It's almost like when I was looking at this cast yesterday, I thought to myself, it's like living far enough away that you have to commute every day. You still get into traffic. You know, you still drive in Atlanta. You drive 45 minutes in the morning in Atlanta. You know it's bad. You do it anyways. You still pour the coffee. All I'm suggesting is you pour the coffee.
Right.
Make the coffee before you get in the car. Listen, you signed yourself up for this commute. You work here. The system is flawed.
Mm-hmm.
Well, good news. We sometimes have to exist in flawed systems, traffic being one of them. And frankly, if you're going to exist in those flawed systems, you might as well do it in a way that's going to make everybody as effective as possible, which means briefing your people early.
That's exactly it. Folks, just because the system is broken doesn't change its importance to our directs. Your directs don't care that you think the system's flawed. Directs care about the reviews just as much as you care about your review. You know the system's flawed, but it appears as though when you're being reviewed, the results of that matter to you in this flawed system. Again, we'd recommend the employment of the middleman test. How would you feel if your boss didn't put their best effort into your review mainly because she hated the clumsy review system? If we as managers decide to gauge our managerial levels of effort primarily based on the relative efficiency and effectiveness of a corporate process rather than its value to the firm and your people, we have got our priorities wrong. The system's broken. Embrace it. It exists. It's the one we've got. You can't determine how much effort you put into something incredibly important based on how much you like doing it. That's ridiculous. It makes absolutely no sense. Why would you do that to other people? You hate the system and your review always matters. It matters to someone. So do it justice.
On February 12th, we're hosting a virtual Effective Remote Manager Conference. You can join us on Zoom from anywhere in the world and learn about how to execute the Manager Tools Trinity remotely. We've been remote for over 15 years and we'd love to share with you how we do it. Come and see us online February 12th at 1 p.m. Eastern on Zoom for an ERM, Effective Remote Manager Conference. We'd love to see you there. Sign up at manager-tools.com/training. Okay, the process is important. We know that. And it's messed up. Okay, good. Does it being messed up mean it's okay to engage lightly with it, to engage ineffectively with it? How will that sit with one of your directs when they learn that you spent 20 minutes on their review, largely making small changes to the copy and paste job you did from someone else's review? Ouch.
Ouch.
Especially when he learns that your peer manager briefed his new people within a few weeks of starting, met quarterly with each of his directs, where they were given handwritten versions, so there were no surprises, et cetera. Yeah,
exactly.
You'd want to work for the other guy.
Exactly. The system being messed up is no excuse for engaging with it poorly when it's so incredibly important. This can have impacts for other people's careers. It really can. For how?
Of course it can.
For retention, frankly. If I'm working for an organization and I don't think that my manager is doing their due diligence to ensure my review is complete and accurate, I'm sorry. I am not doing this.
There are a lot of flawed systems.
Yeah, there really, really are.
I mean, would we refrain from voting because the system is flawed? Some people do.
Some people do.
And guess what? You can win against those people simply by briefing your directs for 15 minutes about performance reviews.
Exactly.
Imagine that you don't do it and you have to then face the spouse of your new direct and say to them, you know, I really didn't do everything I could to help your spouse win the review process. And so a lot of other people got raises this year, but your spouse didn't. Would you feel good about that? Would you enjoy that interaction? Would you feel positively about your efforts?
Proud of yourself.
Yeah.
You not feel proud of yourself. You'd be embarrassed.
Yeah.
Yeah. And disappointed in you because everyone else would be too. So let's face it.
It is. It's like saying, my guy didn't win the election.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't vote. Oh, okay. Well, then.
Never mind.
Can't imagine why your guy didn't win.
Right?
I mean, goodness.
That seems weird. You'd think by osmosis.
Surprise.
Exactly. All right. So,
what do we recommend?
We'd recommend you go over your process. Now, start with when. When the review process starts, which hopefully based on what you've heard Kate and I say up until this point, you now know is now. It starts immediately.
Yes.
Make sure you brief them on what you are going to do relative to their review, rather than what the official system says. Mm-hmm. We know these two things differ, and we'll get into that. Now, folks, you may very well do nothing other than deliver the review or just get a signature. Now, small segue, if that's all you do, you're doing it wrong. Doing nothing other than getting a review and an acknowledgement signature is weak and it's unprofessional. But that may be all you do. And if it is, or you do more, whatever it is, your responsibility in this process is tell them when their review will be and how far in advance they need to review their own performance in order to provide you input.
If you don't know right now what your process is, okay, we're going to help you out. We encourage you to talk to HR, see what kind of managerial resources they have for you. They may be great, but they're probably trash.
They're probably not great.
Probably terrible. And you probably need to skim them as a minimum, even if they are bad.
Yeah, just to say you did it.
And be aware of it.
Yeah, exactly.
There also could be some gotchas in there. I have worked with organizations where there was one parameter that meant essentially everything. And if you hadn't read the HR guidance, it wouldn't have stood out. It wouldn't have been clear that that was the one place where, hey, you can really maximize the impact of the input that you're giving. So definitely review them.
Yeah.
So you can say you've done it just in case, or in cases where it's good. So you can utilize the tools.
Take advantage of that, for sure.
And really, we're recommending this because there could be some kind of political kerfuffle, snag. Kerfuffle always makes me think of a bunch of chickens fighting.
Really?
Yes, because it's like fluffy feathers, and that's they're chickens, and they're like, they're fight, and then their feathers get all fluffed up. I don't know. I
am terrified of chickens.
That's right, you hate birds.
Yeah, and I say kerfuffle like 4 times a week, so thanks for wrecking it for me.
I'm so sorry.
No, that's okay. No, I'm definitely not going to get a mental image of chickens fighting. That sounds horrible.
Okay, well, I'm going to not tell you about the album cover I was thinking about either then.
Oh my gosh,
okay, good. Please. So there could be a political snafu regarding your reviews of your directs. Or your process, if you are not aware of the HR standards, requirements, whatever it is. We've seen, because we don't have the same systems here, but we have seen HR tell a manager they could not give the direct their review the night before, which is part of our core guidance. Yeah. And by this, we mean HR said that the manager couldn't give the direct the copy.
Yeah. Before. To review in advance of actually meeting to discuss.
Right. And we, for us, this is a hard and fast rule. You give them the review beforehand. So we've seen that. HR saying, no, you can't do that, which, by the way, y'all, is just.
Right.
I don't want to say evil because I don't want to call HR evil. But the withholding of it, like the gatekeeping of it, the idea that 24 hours, and frankly, I have seen in the past a lot of managers who aren't giving their directs the copy until 2 hours before. And the directs are just every minute up until when they receive and review the copy is panic-inducing, sweat-pouring, because managers aren't telling them throughout the year, hey, you did good, and here's what I'm worried about, and blah, blah, blah. So the idea that you can't move your process to the left 2 or 3 days so that your direct can have their copy 24 hours or 48 hours in advance is just cruel, frankly. I've been through it enough times that I gotta tell you, it's really, really awful for the direct. So that's one thing we've seen. We've seen that HR says to managers, oh, you can't have tissues in the meeting and in the room because, like, it's a bad signal.
A nonverbal cue. You might be crying by the time we're done. That's horrible.
Right, which is also horrible. Yes. Really, really, not just horrible, but dumb.
Right?
Like, this is my office and there are always tissues here. it's not because people cry. It's because, I mean, I'm in here. I don't cry in here, but
I use tissues.
Wow. What, like,
I don't,
it's 20 degrees outside. I might need a tissue.
Right.
Oh, it's just so mean.
It's a lot. It is.
Just so mean.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Now, again, to Kate's point, chances are when you go to HR, what you're going to get back is a process that we encourage you to review, but is also less than ideal. And if all else fails, you can listen to our set of podcasts. They're Hall of Fame podcasts. We release them each and every year at review time because people love the casts around preparing performance reviews and delivering performance reviews. They're some of our most downloaded podcasts ever. And we recommend a quarterly discussion as well during one of your one-on-ones about performance projection for the entire year, as well as a handwritten review using the corporate form semi-annually, whatever that corporate form, corporate process may be. So as you can see, we recommend a process that starts well in advance of when the actual review is due, giving you plenty of time to gather data from the entire year and allowing your directs time for their own self-reviews, which you can use as input for the review. And as you listen, you'll learn that the process of writing and delivering the review is far more known and granular than you might have imagined. I mean, it's not something that should be taken lightly, done in a rush.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And if you do this semi-annually, half of the work is done by the time you get there at the end of the year. So it's a lot easier. It gets a lot easier because you do it more often. You have a lot more practice. It's smoother. You know what to look for. Things don't slip through the cracks as easily.
Yeah.
You're less likely to forget first quarter stuff and et cetera. You really should have thought through what your process is going to be before you have the meeting briefing them.
Yeah.
Or if you want to be bold, if you're a licensee, you could share with them the show notes, indicating that that's the process you will use to prepare and deliver their review. So you could just print out the show notes from the How to Prepare Performance Reviews podcast and then give them to your direct. That's a lot of alliteration.
Yeah.
I did not enjoy that particular sentence, which I crafted. I realize it's my fault. Mm-hmm. And once you've done this, you should make sure that you also then follow the process that we recommend. If you're going to, like,
yeah, if you're going to just print out the show notes, please make sure you read them in advance and do the thing it says.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Yeah, folks, there are also other podcasts on, as a direct, preparing your performance review for your manager. There's a bunch of podcasts on it that will help them in their thinking, help you in your thinking, make the entire thing so much easier. Because let's face it, it's not an event. It's a process.
Mm-hmm. It should be.
It should be a process, exactly. Most managers don't realize that daily feedback is actually closely wedded to the performance review process. They're just two different tactics under the umbrella of your organization's performance management system. Now, performance management system is the terminology we use. I'm sure that where you work, we don't call it a performance management system. There's probably some other funner, softer, HR-ish way of calling this thing. But in either case, your daily feedback feeds into your annual review under part of the same process. Overall performance management. That's all for this week, folks. Join us again next week for a continuation of today's topic.